Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. You know, we love to bring you these really targeted explorations of specific ideas, and today we're tackling something that's all about taking control of your financial future, building wealth on your own terms, and it all revolves around a concept called IBC.
Infinite banking concept. We're going straight to the source for this one, unpacking a conversation between Robert Murphy and Carlos Lara on their show, The Lara Murphy Show.
Yeah, and the episode we're zeroing in on is episode 18, part 2 of their guide on getting started with IBC. And we're doing this because they really get into the nitty-gritty of what someone brand new to this whole idea needs to know and do, like even before they start thinking about an actual policy.
Before you jump into implementation, getting that solid foundation is key.
Exactly. So let's dive into that. What are the foundational pieces of knowledge they say are absolutely critical for anyone who wants to even begin wrapping their head around IBC?
Well, they really stress that before you even think about putting IBC into practice, you got to understand the why behind it. You need to grasp the philosophy driving it. And they actually recommend a couple of things to build that foundation.
Okay, lay it on us. What are those first steps?
First, they say, dive into the archives of their show, The Lara Murphy Show. Their website is laramurphy.com. And they've got tons of episodes covering all sorts of aspects of Austrian economics and IBC, so you can really immerse yourself in their thinking.
So it's like getting a feel for their whole approach, their perspective on finance, before you jump into the specifics of IBC.
Right, and they also have a specific section on the website called the Newcomers tab. It's got a bunch of introductory materials designed for people at different levels of familiarity with these ideas, so you can start wherever you feel comfortable.
So that takes care of the kind of broad exposure to their thinking. What's the next essential piece of the puzzle they talk about?
This one, they are super adamant about. You absolutely have to read Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. They consider this book like the Bible of IBC, the foundational text that everyone needs to go through to really grasp the philosophy.
Becoming Your Own Banker, even the title kind of suggests a pretty radical shift in how we think about money.
It totally is. Nash essentially flips the script on how we view banking. Instead of thinking of banks as the sole providers of capital, he empowers individuals to become their own bankers, in a sense, to create their own banking system within a life insurance policy.
Okay, so that fundamental shift in mindset, that's the core insight you're saying.
That's it. That's what that book really drives home.
Got it. Becoming Your Own Banker check. And they also mentioned their own book as a resource too, didn't they?
They did. They suggested how privatized banking really works as a kind of supplementary read to Nash's book. This one goes deeper into the link between Austrian economics and IBC. So if you're the kind of person who wants to really delve into the theoretical underpinnings, explore that connection more deeply, this is the book for you.
All right, theory first. Get through the key readings, lay that groundwork. Now, once someone has that solid base, what's the next critical step they should take when they're actually looking to implement IBC in their own financial life?
Okay, so here's where they make a really crucial point. You absolutely need to work with a qualified practitioner. Don't try to go it alone. They explain that while Nelson Nash's book gives you the big picture, the overall theory, it doesn't get into the nuts and bolts of designing a life insurance policy that will actually function as an effective IBC vehicle.
Right. Understanding the concept is one thing, but actually structuring a policy to work that way that requires some serious expertise in the insurance world.
Precisely. And that's where the IBC practitioner program comes in. Nelson Nash himself, along with Carlos Lara and David Stearns. They developed this program to ensure that financial professionals get the specialized training they need to properly configure a dividend-paying whole life policy specifically for IBC.
So it's not just any financial advisor. It's someone with very specific training.
Exactly. And how do they recommend finding these qualified practitioners who've been through this program?
That's what I'm wondering. Where do you even begin to look for someone like that?
They direct people to the practitioner finder on their website, infinitebanking.org finder. And they're very clear about this. The professionals listed there have completed their program. And more importantly, they've signed a contract.
Okay, so this isn't just a list of people who say they know IBC. It's like a vetted group.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a guarantee that they've gone through the training and are committed to upholding certain standards.
So that finder is the go-to resource. Then they actually advise against just approaching any life insurance agent, even if that agent says they understand IBC.
Yeah, they're pretty adamant about that. They caution against just calling up any life insurance agent, because even if the agent has good intentions, they might not have that deep specialized knowledge of IBC policy design. The practitioner program ensures a particular level of expertise and a commitment to the core principles.
Okay, so you've done your reading, you've got the theory, you found a qualified practitioner through the Finder. What key things should be on your mind before you even have that first meeting with them? What do you need to be thinking about?
So many important things to consider. First and foremost, verify the product. Make absolutely sure that any policy being discussed is a dividend-paying whole life insurance policy. This is non-negotiable. This is the foundation of Nelson Nash's IBC concept and the entire focus of their practitioner program.
Okay, dividend paying whole life. Got it. But why only that specific type of policy? Aren't there other types of permanent life insurance out there that someone might consider?
There are. But Murphy and Lara, they're very clear that dividend-paying whole life has a unique combination of features that make it ideal for IBC. You've got the guaranteed cash value growth, the death benefit, and the potential to receive dividends that can be used to further enhance your financial flexibility. And remember, those practitioners in the Finder, they're contractually obligated to focus on dividend-paying whole life for IBC.
So no need to get distracted by other products. Stick with dividend paying whole life for IBC. That's clear. What else should be on your mind before that initial meeting?
This one's a bit more about the personal side of things, the personality fit. They actually recommend talking to more than one practitioner if needed to find someone whose personality and communication style really resonates with you. It's a relationship after all.
Makes sense. It's got to be someone you feel comfortable with, someone you trust.
Exactly. And another thing they point out is that all the practitioners in their Finder have a basic understanding of Austrian economics.
So if you're already familiar with that school of thought, you'll be on the same page from the get-go.
Precisely. Now let's talk about the practicalities of funding a policy. What initial thoughts should someone have on this before that first meeting?
Yeah, because that's a big question, right? Where's the money going to come from?
Absolutely. They talk about two main approaches. The first is using discretionary income. You basically look at your current budget and see how much you could comfortably set aside each month or year to put towards a policy.
So it's starting with where you are now financially and seeing what's realistically doable.
Right. The second approach is reallocating existing assets. This is something people often consider if they want to get IBC going more quickly, or if they're later in life and have assets they could potentially move around.
Okay, so that could involve shifting funds from other investments into a policy, but that's obviously a bigger decision. What are the key considerations there?
If you're thinking about reallocation, they really stress that you should have a rough idea of the amount you're considering, and you need to understand the potential tax implications before you even meet with the practitioner. Remember, financial professionals, they can't give tax advice. So talk to your accountant or tax advisor beforehand. Get that piece sorted out first.
Tax homework up front. Got it. Now, once you're in that meeting, the practitioner is probably going to show you some policy illustrations. What's crucial for someone new to this to understand about those illustrations?
Those illustrations, they're essentially projections of how the policy might perform over time, and it's generated using specialized software. But here's the thing, you've got to understand the difference between guaranteed and non-guaranteed values.
Okay, break that down for us. What's the distinction?
Guaranteed values, they're usually shown on the left side of the illustration. These represent the amounts the insurance company is contractually obligated to provide for the cash surrender value at various points in time, assuming you keep paying your premiums. These figures are usually pretty conservative.
So that's like the safe bet, the minimum you can expect.
Exactly. Then you've got the non-guaranteed values on the right side. These projections include potential dividends, which are based on how well the insurance company performs. They're not guaranteed up front.
So that side shows up a potential upside, but it's not a sure thing.
All right. And one thing to remember is that insurance companies tend to be very conservative with their projections. That's partly due to state regulations that are all about making sure insurance companies stay solvent. So the actual performance, especially when it comes to dividends, could end up being better than what's illustrated.
It's like a built-in margin of safety.
Exactly. And there's a common misunderstanding that Murphy and Lara address. They point out that you don't get both the cash surrender value and the death benefit at the same time. The cash surrender value is what you get if you end the policy. The death benefit goes to your beneficiaries when you pass away.
Important distinction. Now, you often see these illustrations showing the death benefit increasing over time. What's driving that growth specifically in the context of IBC?
That increase is usually due to something called paid-up additions, or PUAs. These are essentially little chunks of additional life insurance that you're buying within the policy. They can be purchased using the dividend that the policy generates, or by making extra premium payments.
So it's like strategically reinvesting within the policy to build up more coverage.
Exactly. And PUAs, they're pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They contribute to both a rising death benefit and faster growth of the cash value. So it's a way to accelerate that wealth building within your own banking system.
They also mentioned that there can be some flexibility in how you fund these policies. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so you've got your base premium, which is the regular payment you make. But many IBC-designed policies let you contribute additional amounts whenever you have extra funds available. This is sometimes called overfunding, and it can really boost the growth of your cash value. They encourage you to discuss this flexibility with a practitioner to see what your policy allows.
So it's like having the option to ramp things up when you've got more resources available. That makes sense. Now, what about the involvement of spouses or partners in this whole process? What do Murphy and Laura have to say about that?
They are very clear this should not be a solo decision. You absolutely need to involve your spouse or partner and make sure they understand the basics of IBC. It's about transparency and shared understanding.
What's a specific area where that spousal understanding becomes really crucial?
They highlight the impact of policy loans on the death benefit. Any outstanding loan balance when you pass away will reduce the amount your beneficiary receives. So it's vital that your spouse or partner is fully aware of this potential consequence. There should be no surprises.
Open communication is key, especially when you're talking about something that could have long-term implications for the whole family. Now to wrap things up. What are Murphy and Laura's final thoughts on choosing a practitioner through their practitioner finder?
They really drive home the point that the whole purpose of the IBC practitioner program and the finder is to connect you with the right people, professionals who truly understand IBC and who are committed to your best interests.
They also mentioned that the program itself is quite rigorous.
It is. It's not a walk in the park.
Yeah.
They have interviews to make sure the practitioners have the right mindset,
right,
a genuine desire to serve their clients within the IBC framework. So it's a pretty thorough vetting process.
So the goal is to create a positive, trustworthy experience when someone decides to explore IBC and work with one of these professionals.
Right. Exactly. They express a lot of confidence that by using the practitioner finder, you're very likely to have a good experience working with someone who's knowledgeable about IBC and can guide you effectively.
So there you have it, folks. A deep dive into the initial steps of exploring IBC. Hopefully this has provided some clarity and some actionable insights straight from the source.
And remember, we always encourage continued research and thoughtful consideration. The resources we've mentioned, the Laura Murphy Show archives, Nelson Nash's book, The Practitioner Finder, these are all excellent places to continue your learning journey.
And just a reminder, this information is for educational purposes only. It's not financial advice. Consulting with a qualified financial professional who understands your specific situation is always the best way to make informed decisions about your financial future.
So here's a thought to leave you with. If you take the time to really understand what IBC is all about and you have a clear sense of your own financial goals, those conversations you have with a qualified practitioner, they can be so much more focused, so much more productive. You'll be well on your way to taking control of your financial destiny. What questions does this spark for you about shaping your financial future, maybe even right here in our own community?
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
And that is it for this deep dive, folks. As always, we really appreciate your support. If you're finding value in what we're doing here, remember, you can always contribute at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. You'll find the link in our show notes. And until next time, keep thinking, keep acting locally.
See ya.
And that's a wrap. Bye.